Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, good morning. Got up a little bit irritated this morning for a Monday. Normally I bounce back pretty good on Mondays, feeling pretty good. A lot of stuff irritating me this morning that we need to talk about here. Those of us who carry the name of Christ, those of us who believe that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Those of us who understand that we're supposed to earnestly contend for the faith. Those of us who understand that we're to occupy till he comes. Those of us who understand that we're have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, or rather expose them. That's what believers are supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm look out across the spectrum of America, and I get myself a little bit frustrated. Hey, before I get too deep in it, folks, come on, man. Been a financially not, we're not going under. Last couple months been slow here at Pass the Salt. Just got to show you what you do. Make a donation. Help us out here, will you? We can give you a camo hat. Make a $25 donation. Say, Coach, send me one of those camo hats. Say, I don't like that camo hat, Coach. I like that red, white, and blue hat. Or that blue, send me that one. Okay, I'll send you that one. Or say, Coach, send me that one you got on your head. Send me that one. Okay, I'll send you that one. Say, no, send me that Jesus visor. Will you, Coach? Will you send me that Jesus visor? Yeah, no. Coach, send me that one of those Protect the Flock with a Glock shirt. Will you do that, Coach? Will you send that to, I'll make a $25 donation. Send me one of those. Yeah, I'll do that. Now, how about this one? Truth Sound Like Hate shirt. I got this one all, this one's all wrapped up and ready to be mailed out to you. $25 donation. Just tell me what you want. And for those who got all the garb and don't know what else you want to do, let me move this stuff out here. How about this? I got a little CD. I'd love to season with salt and let the sparks fly. Two-sided CD of commentaries I've written, said you put them in your car and they fire you up all the way when you go to work. And then how about this? I got a few of the Occupy Till I Come conference CDs with Russ Dizdar and the Hagmans and Paul Begley, Mike Spaulding, and Mark Trump, and Bill Feder and L.A. Marzullo. Got some good stuff here for you. Come on, man. Step to the plate. Hey, help us out. Hate to feel like I'm begging, but some of you ain't never helping us out. I'm just telling you, we got a lot of stuff, man. We're trying to expand. We got a lot of stuff going on. I'm putting my stuff way over here. We got a lot of stuff going on. It takes money to be able to do it. Praise the Lord. So speaking of money, I spent the weekend. That's not true. Yesterday, Saturday and Sunday. Let's try that. About 8 hours doing my income tax. You said, what? Did I miss something? You're doing your income tax? Yeah. I do an extension every year. Just always do. I just don't do it April 15th. You just file an extension and get six months extension. The 6 months extension is October. So October 15th is coming up here. So I'm doing my taxes, which you guys normally do in April. It's been about 8 hours this week. And just ask a simple question. Well, how long are we gonna put up with this in this country? Here's why I say this stuff, folks. Some of these changes that we need to see occur, they need to happen now. They need to happen now. If they don't happen now, they're never going to happen. And you know that President Trump and the deep state, they're all dealing with the Fed and the Rockefeller. You don't have to believe all that stuff, but it's going on. And you ever ask yourself, you know that when you do your income tax, and I end up filing, Michelle, our income tax here, I'll have it done by the end of the week, have it out. When you sign that, you waive your Fifth Amendment rights against illegal searches and seizures. What is going on that we have to, if they called you into a courtroom, is there a lawyer out there? Is Roger Weaver out there? Or somebody out there got some sense? Let me ask you a question. Can anybody imagine any case in America where they would charge you with a crime and then say, hey, by the way, when you come to court, would you bring all of the evidence with you, please? He said, what? Yeah. When you come to court, we're accusing you of murder. And when you come to the courtroom, I would like you to bring up, if you could, bring the gun you used, bring the shells that you fired, bring any mud or anything like that you had on your shoes, any blood on any of your clothes, any DNA, any evidence you have. When you come to trial, would you please bring all that evidence with you? He said, you can't, man, go do that. I'm not going to do that. You guys get the evidence. Well, folks, have you thought about income tax? You ever thought about that? If they audit you, you say, hey, we think you stole money from us, and bring all that evidence with you. When you come in here, bring all your receipts and bring everything with you. There's something wrong. Does anybody disagree with me? Am I just barking up the wrong tree? Am I just mad because I don't care about the money. I do, but that's not it. It's the process of doing it. 8 hours. And then somebody said to me yesterday, well, coach, just hire somebody to do it for you. Are you kidding me? As I said before the queue, I have a master's degree. Probably top 20% of the people educated in America. Jared, you could Google that. Just Google that right now, Jared, and find out how many people have a master's degree. I bet it's not very many. And I'm not able to do my taxes? I got to hire somebody? What? I don't work at Walmart. I don't flip hamburgers at Wendy's. I'm an educated guy. And I can't figure out how to walk through doing my income tax without violating the law? What's that? 10%. Jared said 10% of Americans have a master's degree. That's me. I have postmaster's work. So now I'm up maybe the 8%. And I got to hire somebody? I got to sit around and read through those laws and try to figure out, am I violating here? Can I take this here? Can I do this? What? Why can't they just say, why can't our Congress just say, if you make over 100,000, 10%, you make under 100,000, 5%. Why can't they just do that? Why can't they just do that? Because it's all control. So the pastor say, well, coach, render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. I will, dude. You tell me what belongs to Caesar and what belongs to God. You tell me that. Say, well, coach, you gotta pay your taxes. But why? I do pay my taxes, but can you tell me why? I pay plenty of taxes. I pay plenty of taxes. Can you tell me why I gotta do that? Well, you gotta render under Caesar that which is Caesar's. Well, okay. So God's money belongs to Caesar? So, well, Caesar's image is on it. Well, yeah, I can put my image on the Bible, and I'm not God. You can put your image on it.
Hey, coach, the scripture says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all that is in it. So guess what? It's all God, so I don't got to give any of it to Caesar.
Well, at least, brother, not with that rectal exam that they give you when you have to do it. And when you send it in, you waive. Hey, Jared, Google that. There's another good question to Google, Jared.
Hey, coach.
Google this, Jared. Do you waive your Fifth Amendment rights when you file income tax? See what it says. Yeah, Paul.
But you actually, in reality, you pay triple and double and triple because you pay taxes on your income. Then you turn around and pay another tax at the end of the year. So you're actually paying two and three times already.
Well, Paul, I'll take it one step beyond that. Then you go to the gas station and the groceries and you pay taxes there.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and then they spend it. They don't even have it and spend it. Right?
And they say they need more.
And spend it and spend it and spend it and spend it and spend it. Now listen, if you were working, if one of your children was spending more money than he had, would you continue to give him money? And if your son was using the money that you gave him to go take drugs, would you continue to supply his drug habit? So at what point do the American people, I know Don, I'm singing your song, at what point do the American people say, I'm cutting it off? Well, by the way, we need some of that tax dollars because we want to murder babies. Hey, by the way, we need some of that taxpayer money because we want to support the Democratic Party. Hey, we need some of that money out there because we want to put homosexuality in the schools. At what point, fellas, do we stand up and say, this is crazy? This is absolutely crazy. Jared, did you find it? Where do I find it, Jared? Because people don't understand this, I know. Okay, the short of this one, one cannot refuse to file a tax return on the basis of the Fifth Amendment. However, one can invoke their Fifth Amendment rights during the filing of return. While this case does not give specific instructions on how that is done, one could reasonably assume that answering a question with Fifth Amendment rights invoked or something similar should suffice. However, be aware that not completing certain fields of one's tax return can cause the IRS to qualify it as incomplete and therefore not filed. Consult the IRS or a lawyer in regards to what fields may cause this, since sources of income are the typical subject of in question. Filing out the source's name as a Fifth Amendment or the like is suggested. I'm going to get off this. Do you guys understand this? Please tell me that you understand. When you file a tax return, you are saying, I waive my Fifth Amendment right and I will produce all the evidence upon request. Do you know that you're doing it under penalty of perjury? Now, how could that possibly be okay? And the money doesn't go to the U.S. government, it goes to the Fed. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Paul.
You noticed that the last week they were trying to still going after Trump about his tax returns.
Right. Yep, they still are, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Jared, what did you say? Does filing an income tax return void your Fifth Amendment right? Does it? Okay, how can we do this? See, they won't. They will not. If you don't sign it, they don't accept it. You don't sign it, you don't accept it. What if you said, well, I don't want to sign it because I might have made a mistake on it. I might have forgotten something. I may have misread one of these statutes. I may have misread one of these laws. I'm sorry. I'm not going to sign my name to it because I'm not really sure. Can't do that. Oh, well, that's a whole nother story. Sorry I got on it, but I'm on it. Hey, I'm going to, yeah.
Well, and with that, even in that guy's comment, right, he makes his statement and then, but you'll have to check with a lawyer. Right? I mean, why does it need to, like what you're saying, why does it need to be that complicated? Why do you need 5 degrees to figure it out?
So why can't they just say, if you make this amount of money, send us this amount? If you make this amount of money, send this amount.
Well, because if they have a flat tax, which Reagan tried to do many years ago, have a flat tax, even Herman Cain was a 999 plan because there are no loopholes in there. The rich don't have to pay what they have to pay. The corporations will have to pay what they have to pay. And everybody else will not have to pay as much as we are paying.
No, that's right.
Well, and Coach, to Donald Trump's Trump's credit, the new tax plan that does come out next year is simplifying this. And this is coming now, you know, talking credentials. My father-in-law graduated with a doctor and PhD summa cum laude from Loyola Law. That was his specialty. He is the executive officer of the IRS of Southeast United States.
He's smarter than me, then.
Yeah, he's a tad bit, brother, but that's all right. You're a nice guy. Listen, if you got some questions, brother, you can ask me. I will pass them on to him. But, you know, talking with the tax, he, like that Fifth Amendment, and he says, if you're ever audited, you never bring everything. You never bring everything into an audit. You only bring what they specifically ask for, and they do not ask for everything. They ask, they have to identify simple receipts. They have to, like, you're out of, I can answer those questions later, but he does say the new tax plan that is rolling out in 2018 is exactly that. It's simplifying everybody's taxes at the end of the year.
See, this is designed, folks, to keep you in fear. That's all this is about. It's all designed to keep you in fear.
I just want to throw in here that there's a big misconception out there. A lot of people think that corporations should pay more taxes. Well, corporations don't pay any taxes at all because they simply pass that cost on to their customers. So they really don't, they have to process it. They have to figure it out. They have to send the money in, but they don't pay it. Their customers of whatever service or good they sell pays the taxes.
That's
so
true.
You gotta do away with corporate taxes and simplify things.
Yeah. Why don't they, see? Well, I agree, Dale. Folks, give me a minute here. There's a revolution going on in America. And I'm sorry that some of you aren't aware of it and don't understand what's going on. There is an absolute revolution. And the the appointment of Judge Kavanaugh Saturday is huge. In that, Donald Trump now has on the highest court in the land a 5-4. First of all, did you ever think about this? Why should it be 5-4 opinion? Huh? What kind of law is that that has? It should just be what the law says, interpret the law. But right now we know that anything that's now going to go to the Supreme Court from this point on, anything going to the Supreme Court will have a, dare I say it, conservative court to argue it before. In fact, Elena Kagan came out this weekend and said she was disappointed because there was no longer a swing vote. So she said, there's no longer a swing vote. What the hell? Swing vote? Why can't you just look at the law and interpret the law? See, because there's a real war going on here. There's a real philosophical, governmental, deep state fight that's going on right before us. And Judge Kavanaugh now comes down what they call an originalist. Whether he is or not, we don't know. We're going to find all this stuff out. By the way, I'm going to make this prediction. Ruth Ginsburg is going to resign. It's going to happen soon. It's going to happen.
Bam.
And you know why it's going to happen soon? Because they have stuff on all of them. They have stuff on them. So she's going to resign as well. So, but let me back up a second because I don't know how I got on this. This wasn't what I was going to talk about today. There's a real revolution going on. We're going to see maybe soon the deep state's only weapon now, I believe, is monetary. It's all they can do. Can somebody explain to me why they're raising interest rates? The rising of interest rates cools down an economy. Our economy's been dormant for how long? Finally, it's starting to take off. What do they want to do? They want to raise interest rates. Why? Because the last thing that they have a hold of is the monetary. And when this whole thing flushes out, I believe, not an expert, don't work at Kmart, but not an expert, I believe we're going to see a revaluing of the dollar. We're going to see a new monetary system. And if Trump can stay alive, we're going to see the end of the Federal Reserve. That's what that big, big, big things are going on. And here's what happens to all of us, including me. We get frustrated with government because the president doesn't take on our favorite issue. Well, he ought to be stopping abortion. He ought to be defunding Planned Parenthood. I agree. I scream that louder than anybody. Well, he ought to be doing something about the Clinton Foundation. I'm screaming that with everybody. We've got to understand that what's going on, this battle that's going on behind the scenes that we don't even understand, is so much bigger. And it has to be done step by step by step by step. Now, I know it's so hard to find the truth. Our media is so, so corrupt. I wonder when the last thing, how can we consider, listen, we're all big boys here, are we? Here we go. We're all big boys. Can somebody tell me how, what is this, 2018? We know Judge Kavanaugh's high school records, his college records, the decisions he's made. We don't know Obama's, by the way. They've been sealed, but that's another case. Can somebody explain to me this, just one simple question. Why do we know who killed John Kennedy? Why don't we know? Answer this question. Why don't we know who's behind 911? Why don't we know that? Ask another question. Why don't we know what really happened in Las Vegas? How many people died there? 50 some people died there, and we don't really know. We're still blaming this one guy up there shooting off.
All of them have something to do with our government.
All of them do, man. All of them do. See. Folks, we're in the 21st century. We're almost a fifth of the way through the 21st century. We still don't know who killed Kennedy. We still don't have that one figured out. See, there's something very, very devious going on. Really, really devious going on. And we're either going to have to step up and get to the bottom of these things, or this nation's not going to be able to survive. So I don't know what's going to happen, but there's some things that are happening. And I know I'm barking up some of these. I know I am. Let me stop. I've spoken for 20 minutes. Somebody give me their 2 cents here, and then I'm going to shift gears.
I'll throw mine in.
Okay.
I believe that in very short order, especially now that Kavanaugh has been put in there, that there's going to be more transparency placed on things of just that you've just spoken of. I believe most of us in the queue think that the reason we haven't been told of everything about John F. Kennedy is one of them still alive, and he's living down in Houston, Texas, running around in a wheelchair.
Why should he get away with it? Why should he get away with it?
He shouldn't. He shouldn't. But I mean, right. There's just so much truth that the people can handle at one time, because when you put too much on them, they actually black out. They blank over. Their eyes glaze over. They just and they can't hear it. They don't hear it.
Yeah. So,
that's just my two cents.
I got you. Okay, cool.
Well, you're exactly right. And that's why this queue is kicked on, to leak stuff here and there to get people there. And why do you think WikiLeaks didn't just do a massive dump of all those files? Because the people just can't absorb it. So they do a leak, 100 pages, let people go through them, do another leak, that kind of stuff, kind of bring people along.
Okay. Chad, now just by the way, I'm going to be in Manchester, Iowa tomorrow. That's on our webpage. I'm 2 days. Going to be in Manchester, Iowa. The information's there on the website. A lot of it is small groups. I'm speaking to a group of in the city of Manchester, at either the football field or in the auditorium or gymnasium. I think of the weather, depending on the weather, tomorrow evening to like Wednesday evening to, I don't know, maybe as many as 500 people. So pray that that goes well. And man, I just it's a busy time, man. I'm having a busy time. Covet your prayers, okay? I'll update the calendar and we'll talk a little bit more about that, because we're already so far into the show. But I want to show you some things here that I think are critical for us to see. Hey, Jared,
we'll go back to Ruth Nader Ginsburg.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg has said privately that she will not sit on the court with Judge Kavanaugh. She has said that. So now we get to find out, don't we? Now, now that she understands, do you think Ruth Bader Ginsburg wants to spend the next 10 years of her life on a court where she's in a minority, where everything's going to be against her? Do you think any judge wants to
do
that?
Coach, do you think she's really still alive?
She's the weekend at Bernie's. She's weekend at Bernie's, brother. They just prop her up in a chair. But could you imagine if they put Amy Barrett up on that seat?
Can you imagine?
Brother, yeah. What we saw with Kavanaugh, that was a just precursor to what would happen. You talk about rioting in the streets, brother. That's what I see.
Me too. So that's what I'm trying to tell you. Gear up, because this is all going to really break loose after the election, after they know they lose. Now, hey. I know some of you think I'm crazy. I read everything, man. I read everything, and I try to filter it through the Holy Spirit. I try not to bring anything before you that I think hasn't been somewhat vetted. I try to make you become free thinkers. And I came across this today, and I want you to see it. Jared pulled up there. It just says Q post. Some of you don't believe in Q, and that's okay. That doesn't matter. But this is very germane in the stuff we're talking about here today. This is the latest post from QAnon. Hey, folks, listen. Everything changed with Kavanaugh in there. Everything changed. Supreme Court now are five what they would call originalists. Everything's changed. The CIA is no longer in control. Now, this comes from Q. You can believe it or not, but I want you to think about where we are. Yes, I'm going to get into the scripture. I have it open right in front of me. Is what Q said. Many tribunals are already held. And they're working hard for Trump to save their own lives and their children. See, those who are involved in trying to clean up the deep state, they understand how serious this is, to save their own lives and their kids. And these tribunals, these people are starting to sing, because why? Jail is better than hanging to most of them. Military tribunals have a death penalty with them, all right? Now, Bill Olson, if you're listening, Bill, I'd like to get you in here the next day, because William J. Olson, who's an attorney who helped get Ken Hovind out of jail, says, man, this is really, really dangerous. First of all, military tribunals are really dangerous, but our courts are so screwed up that we can't trust them. Stay with me. Others have already chosen hanging, it says. Explain suicide weekend option. They said that we're going to begin seeing suicide. You don't have to believe it. I'm just bringing information to you. In exchange, they destroy the media for us on purpose and on schedule, on time and under budget, Trump style. They are forced to corner themselves. Feinstein's in trouble. They are forced to turn on themselves. It's more efficient. Saul Alinsky style. Make them live up to their own standards, right? I think we're ahead of schedule. Midterms are not at risk. They never were at risk. The country's 70% conservative, 30% liberal. That's the truth. We would never leave it to chance. The only risk left is economic. That's what I said, right? They crashed the economy. All of a sudden, Trump's a bum. From normies, that's all of us. We're normies. From normies freaking out too much. The only risk is economic because the normies are freaking out too much. Or rogue operators. They're about 4 to 6%. We fought the real war in 2017. The war's been fought since then behind the scenes. We didn't see it. It says Trump at the CIA on day effing one. The battle started that morning. The last major battle was Las Vegas on October 17th, a year ago. The Saudi Arabia government was overthrown weeks later. Then Q started posting on 10/28. The battle is now about our minds. Slowly awakening the masses to break the media hypnosis. Relax. Be a warrior, not a worrier. Justice has already been served. Q.
That's pretty powerful.
That's pretty powerful. That's pretty powerful. Now, Chad said it, or Jared said it, or whoever. Folks, if all this stuff were to hit at once, we would. Can you imagine what the media will do? As this stuff begins to come down. Oh, Trump's a dictator. He stacked the Supreme Court. You can see all the argument that they're making, right? You can see all of it. I mean, first, that's... hang on, before I go there. Okay, can I show you something, folks? Hey, Jared, go to Why They Lost. Click, I sent three different things for you. Why They Lost. Click on that, folks. It's going to pop up on your screen. Here's Why They Lost. Okay, Jared says it's going to be mom and pop America are sick of it. I see it wherever I go. They're sick of it. The only people who aren't sick of it yet are the church folk. Look at this guy, how he's dressed. This is a fashion show. This is why they lost. People are sick of this. Sick of this crap. Sick of, what's her name? Taylor, whatever her name is. Somebody, what's her name? Singer.
Taylor Swift.
Thank you. Taylor ain't so swift. She's come out as a hardcore lefty. She just came out this week. People are sick of it. That's why they lost. That's why they want to continue to lose. Jared, here's another one, Jared. Pull the next one up there. Killing white people. Here's why they lost. Here's why they lost. People are sitting home on their TVs and they're on Facebook. That one's empty. Oh, I didn't put the picture on. Oh, well, heck with it. Forget it. And then, JR, this will make you happy. Jared, go to Family Umbrella. This is where we have to come back to. This is why they lost.
The family is the foundation.
There it is. Jared will have it up there for us in a second. There it is. There's the umbrella. Christ is the head. The family with the husband is the head. He protects, leads, provides for the family. That's the job of the husband. And the wife is the comfort. To teach and nurture the children. The children are to love their parents and obey their parents. Can I tell you this? You can pretty much pull three of those umbrellas out. You can pull four of them out. You can pull the husband out. You can have Christ and no husband and it ain't going to work. You can have Christ and no wife and it ain't going to work. And sadly, you can have Christ and no children, and it ain't going to work because you're not passing it on. This is why they lost. Got something. There's something miraculous going on. Jared, go to 1 Thessalonians for me.
Hey, Jared, you want
to put somebody jump in if you want to. Jump in if you want to. If you don't want to, that's okay, too. I'm trying to find what I sent you, Jared. Oh, it's up there.
Hey, Coach.
Yes. Thank you, George. Good to hear you, George.
Hey, yeah, good morning. Hey, as I'm listening to all this, you know, I think deep down we all hope that what we're talking about this morning will happen. But let's remember this. There's no Trump is who he says he is. We hope he is. But let's remember this. He is surrounded by deep state people that he himself put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trying to rain on the parade, but I think the most important thing is for people to remember that if we're going to look to someone, I don't care if it's Trump or whoever, as a political savior, we're setting ourselves up for failure. It's what we, the people, do on a daily basis to combat evil that ultimately is going to change this nation through Jesus Christ. With that said, I hope Q's right. I hope all this stuff we're talking about is right, but I just sense there's people that are going to set themselves up for failure because remember this, there's no guarantee. I'll just say this, with all the news that we have today, there's never been a greater time to get information. But for me, it's also the greatest time where it's the hardest to figure out the truth.
You know, also...
hang on, Jared, Larry, while you're doing that, Jared, go to click on that link, govbray.com. Go ahead, Larry.
You know, with the somewhat positive things going on, and I agree, I think Judge Kavanaugh being put on the court is a positive thing, but too many people are going to become so complacent because they think the battle is over. They think that we've won. It's all going to work out the way Q says it is, and they're going to give up the fight, and we're going to end up losing if that happens.
Well, I think that's true, Larry, but I bet there aren't 10% of the people even know who Q is. So I don't. The only people who know who Q is people whose eyes are open. And the people whose eyes are open, for the most part, are alert and working. That's why this is important. Meet you at the polls. We're going to have Kurt on here in the next couple of days. Kurt Knocker put this together. This is very, very simple. This is very, very simple. GovPray.com. Very, very simple. Get people to begin meeting you at your local flagpole in city. Wake up the church. Wake up the church. You have 4 weeks beginning this Sunday to get your family, your friends, your community out to the poll and pray for this nation, the direction of this nation, and repent for this nation. We're going to do it on the 14th. Then they're going to come back on the 21st and bring some more people, come back on the 28th and bring more people, come back on the 5th of November and bring more people, and then go vote. This can work. But everybody in this queue right now ought to be organizing right where you live. I'll meet you at the poll. You know what I bet? Most of you won't do it. You won't do it. You say, well, why can I do it? Who am I? I can't do it. Well, yes, you can. Go do it. Take your wife and your kids and go do it. What do you mean you can't do it? I've been banned on Facebook. I get off here in 2 days, 2 or 3 days. I get off. Then I'm going to start hammering on Facebook. Because this is exactly what Larry just said. This is exactly what George just said. If the church shows up, if the church begs for God's forgiveness and repentance, and the church begins to put power around the truth, we get a chance. But if we don't, if we're counting on Q and we're counting on Trump, no. This is our opportunity. Meet you at the poll. There it is. GovPray.com. GovPray.com. Okay, cool. I'm doing it. I don't care if it's just me and my wife. I'm going to go to the polls. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it 4 weeks in a row. Are you doing it in your town? Got a gun in your town?
Probably I did not. It yesterday. I did it yesterday. I was out there all by myself.
Yeah. To start. Okay. Did I say First Thessalonians 5? Oh, I got so much to talk about. First, I got this with my wife today as I was coming down. Folks, let's keep this in mind here. The gospel, the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were for the most part written to non-believers. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written to the world, to everybody, to the Jews and to the Greeks, to the Jews and to the unsaved. The four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the remaining books of the New Testament are what's called the epistles. Hey, Jared, that's a good word to Google because most people have never thought about that. Go to Webster's and what is an epistle? An epistle is a writing directed or sent, communicating intelligence to a distant person. A letter missive. It is rarely used in familiar conversations or writings, but chiefly in solemn or formal transactions. It is used particularly in speaking of the letters of the apostles, as the epistles of Paul, and of other letters written by the ancients, as the epistles of Pliny or of Cicero, right? So it's a writing directed or sent communicating intelligence to a distant person. That'd be us. So the epistles are written to saved people. The gospels are written to the world, and the epistles are written to saved people. All right? It comes from Latin epistola, which means to send. To send. So as we remember this, as I'm getting ready, excuse me, as I begin to read 1 Thessalonians here, remember, this was written by Paul communicating an intelligence to a distant people. Even today, we're distant, but it's still intelligent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. Oops, I'm in the wrong place here in my Bible. I wonder if it makes sense. But of the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need that I write unto you. In other words, you guys know it already, he said. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as to travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape. But you, brothers, you're not in darkness. That day should overtake you. It ain't going to sneak up on you. Why? Because your children are the light. The children of the day. We are not of the night. We're not of darkness. Remember, he's writing to save people. Therefore, let us not sleep as those around us are doing. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night. Nay, that get drunk, normally they're drunken at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and a helmet, salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. See, again, this is not a rapture verse. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Jared, let's go quickly to Thessalonians 1. I may have put the wrong thing in there. Okay. I'm looking around. Oh, boy. Stay right here. This is 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, is unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace for God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So there he is writing again to a church. Saved people. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Look, for our gospel came not unto you in word only. Larry, I'm going to pause right there. If this thing is just words, if this is just a book that we read, What was it Paul said? If I have hope in this world only, I'm of most men, all men, most miserable. And it's just reading a book. Now, our gospel came not unto you in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. Are we receiving the word today with much affliction? Is there power being shown by Christians with the word of God today? I'd say no, it isn't. It isn't. Why? Because it's just words to us.
Well, Coach, you want a testimony to lift your spirit? You know me. I'm a truthful man. One of my elders in my church and his wife, who's a cancer survivor, both of them were predetermined with having, one was throat cancer and the other one with bladder cancer a week ago. And I brought forth Mark chapter 16. And I said, one of the things that the scripture shows before they laid any hands on anybody, it says they rebuked the devils. And brother, we went out and we rebuked the spirit of infirmity off the both of them. The next day they had doctor appointments and both of them had 100% clear that there is absolutely nothing there.
Now, Dale, should that be normal?
Or should be commonplace in the church, brother.
Why is it not? Is it because there's something wrong with God?
Because we read his Bible as a lullaby.
We don't
put the church to sleep.
There's no. That's good. I steal that one. There's no power. See, the Bible without power is useless without power. And we are living right now in a time where this power is going to be magnified. We're going to see God do unbelievable things through the power of his Holy Spirit. But God blesses action. He does not bless prayer. Prayer is meant. Jared, there's a good word. Webster's. What is prayer? What's prayer? Well, in a general sense, the act of asking for a favor, and particularly with earnestness. In worship, it's a solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration, expression of our sense of God's glorious perfections, confession of our sins, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, and thanksgiving, or an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. The prayer, however, may consist of a single petition, and it may be extemporaneous, written or printed. Two, it is a formula of church service or of worship, public or private formula like that. Practice of supplication, as he is famed for mildness, peace, and prayer. That part of a memorial or petition to a public body, which specifies the request or things desired to be done or granted, as distinct from the recital of facts or reasons for the grant. We say the prayer of the petition is that the petitioner may be discharged from arrest. So in other words, prayer, the purpose of prayer is to empower. If I read this, anybody want to disagree with that?
Well, what I want to say is I've heard recently, I can't remember where, but somebody said, and this was somebody with, supposed spiritual authority and knowledge, said that prayer changes God's mind.
Mm.
You know what? If we agree that God knows better about everything than what we know, and God has a will, God wants things to happen for his kingdom to be manifested. If God knows better than we know, why on earth would we want to change his mind? Why would we want something less than the best?
Well, I don't think we do, Larry. I think it's a misteaching. I don't think it's that we don't that we don't want, you know, we want to change his mind. We think maybe he hadn't made up his mind yet. That's what most of our prayers are. We think maybe he hadn't made up his mind yet. We want to petition the Lord with prayer.
You look at Sodom and Gomorrah, where you had Lot and them, 100. He says, find 100. I'm going to destroy everybody. And then he works it down to 100, to 50, to 20, to 10, to 1. See, he's not being compromised with, but I think you're right on there. He's trying to show some influence, that prayer has influence.
Well, understand this, and there are some key points in the Bible where Moses himself, on behalf of the Israelites, but when I look at the character of Moses and Abraham compared to what's in the church today, we're not going to move God's hand on changing, that's for sure. But, Coach, you know, we look at God like police. People are out there, they're bashing. They had a football game up in Mississippi where they depicted people shooting cops on the halftime show. I mean, are you kidding me? All right, so we hate cops. We want to kill them until we need them. And so the same thing with the church, you know. The only time we want God is when we need him. He's like a sugar daddy to us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When we look at Sodom and Gomorrah.
A relationship of convenience.
When we look at Sodom and Gomorrah, God didn't change his mind. He still destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. But with Moses' case, he did change his mind. And it says the Lord himself relented or repented of destroying all the Israelites. And Moses stepped in that position of interposition between God and the Israelites. He said, Lord, blot my name out of the book, but let them be spared, because God was going to take them all out. So there's rare cases.
Jared, I just sent you something. Bring that up there. I just did send it. Go ahead. Go ahead, Doug.
What is the purpose of prayer?
To change our own heart.
Okay.
To change our own heart. We don't change God's heart.
To acknowledge our king.
Yeah, you know, Roger, it's like this. I used to pray for victory for a football game when I was coaching, pray for victory, which I think we should. But what if the other guy's praying for victory? We're forcing God to pick a team, pick a side here. Here's part of our problems. This was just sent to me up on the screen right now. Look at this. This is what we're dealing with here. I don't know much about this. Impact Columbus, 29th annual leadership prayer breakfast. RELA, 2018. So they've been doing this for 29 years. Now I'm going to read this. And I want you to see if anybody can tell me. We just read about the power. Didn't we just read somewhere about the power? Demonstration and power. Let's see. Lead with positive impact. Featuring former Hollywood producer and esteemed author, Shailene Bryan. Join us in learning how you can fulfill your leadership potential and make a more positive impact in today's world by embracing love, focus, and toughness.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
That's sort of comical. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, can anyone in the queue think of the last time, and Pastor Dale, you don't count on this one. When did you hear a sermon on the sovereignty of God? Because you know what? That diametrically opposes what today's Christianity in America wants to hear. Like you said, hear about what's going to benefit them. Not because the sovereignty of God, you know what? It's out of our hands. There's things. God is sovereign, and it's going to happen whether we want it or like it or not. But it will always be for our best if we're serving him.
Amen. Amen. So what's the point I'm making here? What's the point I'm making? The entire focus of Christianity and prayer is without power. It's without power. Why is American Christianity so powerless? That's a question. I'm listening. Why is it so powerless?
because of sin. How can you be a powerful moving force of believers when there is sin in your life? I think you're disarming yourself as you continue to sin, thinking he's going to bless that.
No, there's no action, okay, Roger? That's what it is. If people are in the stands, they're praying in the stands, and their fingers crossed, hopefully he'll make the field goal, but no one's training to be a kicker.
So, our church has is having a prayer focus for like 6 or 7 weeks on Wednesday night, and I want to go to it and just say, okay, I love the prayer focus. Now, where's the action focus? Mm-hmm. They will pray for the nation. They'll pray for abortion, marriage. They won't go do anything.
And that's right. And that's where Promise Keepers fell short. They brought all those men to Washington, D.C., and then they just sat around there. See, that was a great opportunity for those men to say, look, we're going to go up here, we're going to go to Washington, D.C., and we're going to get our voices heard, and we're going to get something done. We ain't leaving until it gets done. I mean, that's what it is.
People think prayer is action.
That's right. That's right.
That's like faith without works.
So how do we move beyond it? I mean, how do we move beyond it? Let me give you an example. How many, if the people in this right here in this queue, right here, started to get people to meet at the flagpole and pray for repentance, that will have an impact. But if, you know, if my instincts are right, most of you won't do it. Most of you won't. Always waiting for somebody else to do it. And I want the Lord to show up with power and demonstration. I don't want to make me a better leader, although I would like to be a better leader. I don't want him to make me a better businessman, although I guess I would like to be a better businessman. I don't want him to bless my family, although I would like him to bless my family. For this purpose was the Son of God manifested. He would destroy the works of the devil. I want him to destroy the works of the devil, and I want to help him do it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Coach, when I go out today, I'm not going to be at a flagpole, but I'm going to be at a park bench. So I'm going to meet at the park bench. That's what I'm going to do.
But, Vinny, Sunday, meet at a flagpole.
Okay, well, I'll do that.
At least, let's... Oh, boy.
Because, yeah, I know, we have to do this. Here's the whole deal. I mean, we've had a fantastic show. We had a great weekend, but we can't become complacent. It's one win, but it's a necessary win in a spoke of wins that we have to do. We have to prove that good beats evil.
Right? So, Vinny, this is it. I was watching the Cleveland Browns yesterday, who finally got a win in the middle of doing my taxes. I was doing both of them. They finally got a win, and I just realized how good all those players are on every team. Every team, oh my goodness, they're all good. Every linebacker is good.
True.
Every quarterback's good. Every tight end's good. Every defensive end's good. They're all good. They're all the top. And as you watch that competition takes place, you think, man, this is going to come down to somebody making a mistake or something. They are the best of the best of the best. Now, here's what I think. Those of you watching right now, you're the NFL. You're the best of the best. The average. You go to church with a church full of people who don't have any idea what's going on. You're the NFL. You are the all-pro quarterback, except you won't pick up a football. You are the all-pro strong safety, except you won't run and tackle anymore. You are the all-pro inside linebacker, but you won't call a huddle. You are the all-pro tailback, but you won't pick up the ball and run with it. This is really no different. If you guys aren't actively involved, who's going to be? Let's stop criticizing our pastors. They ain't going to do it. They're cheerleaders at best. They're not going to do it. Well, why can't you? Do you remember the story? Well, I always have to make it about me. Yes, Chad.
Yeah. Well, no. You know what you just said was so appropriate because – for months now, I've been working on STAB and PNI, and there's thousands of people on Facebook that have responded positively But the ones that have responded with positive action of any level are the ones in this queue and the ones that listen to this program.
In other words, we're the A-team?
You're the A-team.
We're the A-team.
So can I say I pay the fool?
I pay the fool. How about this one? I love it when a plan comes together. Right? So we have...
Amen.
I'm just telling you right now. My old football coaching, I think I've used this before. When we score a touchdown, which we just did with Kavanaugh. Hang on. It's not about Kavanaugh. It's about he's finally stood up and had some gonads and fought through it. First time in my lifetime the Republicans did that. So when I was coaching football, we scored a touchdown. I said, okay, boys, let's get a turnover and let's score again. Let's not go back and sit back here and drink the Gatorade. You get some Gatorade in you, and then you go out. And let's get a turnover. And I'm here to tell you that turning out Christians at the polls is the next turnover. And then after we turn out Christians at the next polls and the godless left is forced out of power, then all hell will break loose. But I want you to know right now, we are down on the goal line and we have got to punch this one in. We can't trust somebody else to do it. And you're going to have to be a rabble rouser. And if you still go to church, you're going to have to stay after your pastor and stay after him and stay after him. Why in the name of all that is holy will your pastor, does your pastor not understand the importance of the church getting involved and where we are right now? Does your pastor not recognize evil? Can he not see it? Or is he upset that some of the players on his team support evil? So he doesn't want to go there. Doesn't want to make those ones who support evil mad. We're freaking war. We want to be nicer than Jesus. That's the way I see it.
The problem is, that's his job, brother. He doesn't have a choice. That's his call.
Benny, he ain't going to do it. He ain't going to do it. So he ain't going to do it. Nope. We got to stay after him. Got to Facebook it. You got to send emails. You have got to just press this and press. Folks, I saw the Target protest grow for my daughter and I. People all across America at Target.
It wasn't that glorious. What a win. What a win, brother.
It was a win. And stay with me here. Can you guys name anybody out there older than me? Name one really true conservative Republican victory in your lifetime. Name one. I'm waiting. I'm leaning closer.
I'll tell you, here in South Carolina, the Republicans have been in charge of our state legislature and the governorship for most of the last 50 years, and they have not enacted one plank of their platform in all that time.
Because the church hadn't made them. Church has been in hiding. Hide, 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 hide. I'm telling you, we are right now on the verge of a complete overthrow of the American government. I believe it. I believe it. Complete overthrow. See, too many of you are political purists. If you can't win every battle, then he's not doing a good enough job. We got to build some momentum. We got to build some momentum.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
The communists had a philosophy called dialectics, which means they would take one step forward, two steps back.
Right.
But they would keep going. If they lose, they keep coming. That's what the left does. Now, they may have lost this battle, but I guarantee you they're gearing up for the next one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, see, you know.
Paul, it's going to be awfully hard for them to win now without the Supreme Court, without their power base. It's going to be all.
Yeah.
Their only chance now is to overthrow Congress and regain control of it. Can't let that happen. Folks, this is critical.
But this revolution that you talk about, these leftists, they're not really left. They're more. It's more of a Jacobin type of a revolution, where they'll be willing to put blood in the streets to accomplish what they want to do.
And Paul, understand this: it ain't very many of them. They just look like there's a lot of them. Why?
Yeah,
because they're in the streets, right? So meet you at the polls, govpray.com. It's going to draw people out of the church into the streets, safely into the streets. This is important. Come on, man. You're the A-team. You're the NFL. You're the All-Pro. You're Baker Mayfield. Make this thing happen. Bless you. See you tomorrow.